I think we're live, Chris. This is Between Two Wheels podcast. We're doing our live preview of Snelling Road Race, which is such a huge race in the Northern California area. So welcome. I hope some people can join us. Maybe we'll take a little time here, talk about the race a little bit before everyone comes in. Let's get Chris in here. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. How come you're not racing this race, or are you?
I am not racing the race. I've got a couple reasons for not being there. I've got some existing obligations that are going to ultimately keep me away. But I also had a mechanical while riding my bike Wednesday night. I snapped my seat post and hadn't had an opportunity to take care of that yet. So I've got a couple things working against me.
I want to talk about how you snapped the seat post, and is this a weight problem, or is this something else we need to talk about? How did you do that?
I was just cooling down after an interval and hit a little pothole, and apparently it was enough force to just kind of crack the seat post about halfway between the seat tube and the saddle. I didn't think I had a weight issue going, at least not that bad. And I guess my bike is telling me I need to do a better job on the diet. So yeah, kind of a humbling experience, that's for sure.
Right, evidently so.
Yeah, so you racing?
Am I?
Yeah.
I've been given the option of racing. My wife said you can go ahead and do that, but I have not planned on it. I got a little sick after cherry pie or right around that time. Oh, speaking of which, I still need to eat my pie. I haven't even tried it. Yeah. So I'm a little disappointed that maybe it's not going to be that great, but I'm just not feeling so well. Yeah. We have family coming into town. I'm probably not going to be doing it. I have been given the okay to go, but probably not going to do that. All right.
You've
so let's
a few hours to decide. I figure you should know by 10 o'clock.
Right. Well, it's a long drive. It's what, 2 hours? And then we got to, you know, do a race, and I would be doing the first flight. So this race, let's talk about this race a little bit. So it breaks up into flights. It's got a morning flight, an afternoon flight, and they, you know, run the races accordingly. Let's go right to kind of the course itself. How many times have you done this race? First of all, this is the 33rd annual running of the Snelling Roaders. That's what the flyer says. Do you have a shirt, by the way? If you win it, you know, I'm sure you get a Velo Promo shirt. Do you have any of those?
I don't have a Velo Promo shirt from this race, unfortunately. I think the best I've ever done here is like a top 10. Done it 3 times, I think. So not as many as others, but enough to have a sense of what the course is like.
Right. Okay, so why don't you give us a sense of what the course is like? It's not much for hilly, but
depends. If you look at the course just as a set of roads by itself, there's not a lot to it. There's some light rollers and some rough terrain, and it's like a 13 mile loop. The big factor that really plays into this race is the weather can make or break it. It's a lot of exposed road, and if you're dealing with a lot of wind, it can really change the nature of the race.
Right.
I think this go around, looking at the weather forecast for tomorrow, it's going to be cold, but there's really not a lot of wind slated for the day. So that can really make it a race more geared for a sprinter than kind of the guys looking for a long, hard breakaway.
I agree. And, you know, obviously depending on what the weather is. So let me just throw up here the course, what the description is. I'll just share the screen real quick. And kind of a little look at exactly what the registration says it is. It's a 11.7 mile loop, narrow country roads, northwest of Snelling. And I think there's bees out there, bee trees and stuff. Good loop. There's a few little drags here. There's a feed zone and same course as the past 30 years. So if you've done that course before last 30 years, then this is the one you have.
Closed roads the whole time.
Closed roads.
Nice. Right. So you don't have to battle center line if you're in a field of 100 guys. The 5K leading into the finish is incredibly bumpy. And the finishing strip is what, 400 meters, would you say?
Yeah, at least. It's kind of a drag uphill. And coming into that last corner, it's a little dicey. It's really fast. That last 3K, 3 miles, maybe coming into the right hand corner. And it's usually like everyone spread across the road, everyone going 25, 30 miles an hour. And then you got to dive in for the corner, and then you have this pop up, this rise, which is, you're right, it's more than 250. It's about a 400. So but you have to go from the corner because everyone does, but right. You do have a chance to kind of come around, but you still gotta be positioned. So should be. And this course, I mean, it does lead itself to have breakaways, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You expect any tomorrow? Any notable?
Depends on the field. I mean, it depends on the field and how guys are racing, obviously. I think some of the fields are going to be more prone to having a break go and others less so. I think the 45s is going to be a good race for a break. There's some really strong teams and a lot of numbers out there, and I think some teams are going to want to try and shake it up and give themselves the best chance.
Right. So let's go through the flights in the morning first, kind of give a little look of the race scene that happens in the morning. And then we can talk about some of these races themselves. But before we do that, actually, why don't you give I think you did you were giving some text back and forth about numbers from this race before we get into the registration, what it was doing a few years ago and what it is kind of doing now on numbers wise.
Oh, I got you. Yes. So I think you, Kurt, and I were just kind of bouncing texts around this morning talking about race sizes kind of in general now versus maybe 6-7 years ago. So I think we were looking at the P1-2 race out here in 2013 where there was close to 100 riders on the day. And I think pre-reg for tomorrow for the P1-2 is 50. So pretty dramatic swing. And I think also in 2013, they had to do multiple fields of the 45 plus. And I mean, the 45 plus is pretty darn close to sold out this year with 96 pre-reg. But in years past, they were looking at, I think, like close to 150. So they're having to break it up into two big fields. So a little bit of a change, but still just not as big as it used to be.
Yeah, and we did used to get some good Conti teams kind of coming in and doing some of that as well. Okay, so first flight off, the Masters 35, 1-2-3, they start at 8:10. So the flight goes from 8:10 to 8:50. The Masters do 63.2 miles. It's 5 laps, plays 6 deep, and they 100 field limit. And I think you get about $50 if you win or if you do well. So you've always got that. All right, we'll just pop this up on the screen here. So then you have the category.
$50 or prize valued at $50.
Oh, I'm sorry, prize value. So maybe is that a $50 t-shirt?
I think if you split it across the top 6 riders, then you're looking at $50 worth of t-shirt.
Gotcha. Okay, so you have here, the Cat 3s then are next, Cat 4s, Cat 5s. As you can see, the Masters 55, 1, 2, 3, 4, 9.8. Oh, I think that runs into the other 55, 4, 5s, women 4, 5s, juniors, and junior 13, 14. So as you can see here, running from 5 laps to down to 2 for those younger ones. All right, let's go into kind of did you see much on the 55 Masters? And because we're going to kind of hit some of these. I mean, these aren't the big hitting teams, and this sucks in racing in the morning. I mean, 8:10, that's probably one of the reasons I'm not really showing up.
You can only show up for the P1-2 in the afternoon, but the 55 looked like it was a pretty good field. I didn't spend a lot of time going through it. A lot of big teams in there. I think Sierra Nevada had 8 or 9. It looked like Cortec had a handful and a few other teams well represented.
Now, we don't have a race predictor through Bike Reg, is that correct?
As far as I know, that is correct.
Okay, so we'll just look through. Okay, so I'm looking at the field here. It looks like they have 56 entries, which is pretty good for the 55, 1-2-3.
Yeah, not too shabby.
No, not too shabby. Any predictions from those?
So looks I'm like- looking at the folks on here. It looks like Clean Power's got a team of about 4 or 5. Fun Sport Bikes has a handful. Penn Velo's coming out with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 riders. Revs has a few. Sac Golden Wheelman has a few. The biggest team is definitely going to be Sierra Nevada. And then Thirsty Bear's got a couple. And then there's a bunch of kind of onesie-twosie riders. My thought just looking at who is in the field here is... There's some really strong riders. Bubba Melcher's in there. So depending on how well the teams with numbers can get organized and try and get something in the way of a break going, I could see a break getting away here. But if it comes down to a field sprint, I think there's a handful of guys in here that would be good contenders. Chris Corton's always riding well. Bubba's riding well. It's good to see Butch Jackson on here from Sierra Nevada. He and Peter Allen usually work well together.
Yeah, he's a pretty strong guy. I don't think he's taking his tandem out this time, is he?
You might have Peter Allen on the back. That'd be
right. Todd Dambly, a few of these others. So, I'm not real big on knowing the full slot of all these guys. But man, there's a bunch of them. Now the Cal Nats racing team. I think that's what
Larry Nolan.
Larry Nolan. Yeah,
he doesn't have a team next to his name, but.
Is he on Okay, he's with Cal Nats because I see Thomas Coulter and a few of these others in there. So they're dangerous. Well, he is at least. So Larry Nolan, I know that could be kind of tough.
Right.
Let's look at let's just call out the Cat Threes here. 41 entries. You've got
Dolce Vita's got
Dolce. Some teams with numbers. You know, I don't know a lot of the Cat Threes as far as, but man, they do have a lot of them in here. The Dolce Vita guys.
They've got 9 guys.
How many?
9.
Okay, so we're calling that they need to make a showing. Otherwise, it's going to be troublesome, right?
7 for Sun Power. Yeah, I mean, if you're coming in with 9 guys, then you're all eyes are on you to have a good race performance.
Yes, and so what I've some of these smaller categories, you're usually going to come down to field sprints with most of these. You don't have a lot of the guys that have the staying power, but you do have the evident every time a few of those people that are moving up through the categories, and they're talent, right. And so they will try to get off. And this is this course, like I said, it doesn't have a lot of hills, but it's got a few little rollers on the back section, and if you have a wreck, that could really split things up, which is like what we had last year in the P12 field for this race.
That's a good point. And one of the things to take note of is that the first lap or two, it seems, on that course, there's always trouble in kind of the last, maybe 4 miles from the finish, where you drop down and go over that really terrible bridge. It seems like every time through in the first lap or second lap, guys are throwing bottles, people are trying to scatter out of the way, and it seems like there's almost always a crash there. So just be mindful of that.
Right. So, okay, let's go to the Masters 35, which is kind of the spectacle for the morning. I think it would be the big race for that. We have, like I said, I'm not heading down there, but there's John Novikov, who's leading the, should I even mention? He's leading the bar competition.
He doesn't have a clear target on it.
No, data-driven athlete, he's leading the bat. We've got John, Ryan. Is there anybody else going down there for us on that?
I think I heard a rumor that Jeff might be doing a day of reg, but I cannot confirm that.
Okay. So we don't have a big contingent going down for, unless I sneak out early in the morning. Then you do have Cortex, a few Mike's Bikes. You got Thirsty Bear, Olympic Club, which has more than just Chris Coble in this race, it looks like. Pete's obviously. So it looks like some of these guys are actually taking on the 35s rather than the 40. Travis Lee for Thirsty Bear rather than the 45s.
Or some guys are doubling up.
Or they're doubling up. Who do you see as kind of the Touchstone? Touchstone has KC. I think they have Jeremy Cottle in there as well. Anybody you see in here that looks threatening?
Quite a few guys. And also of note, new team on the block, Team Cognition, has 5 riders in there.
And who are those riders? Do you remember? Or do you know? Can you want to look at? Because you say new team on the block, so we should probably get to know some of them.
Yeah, it's it looks like it's a handful of guys who were on Mike Spike's Masters team last year. A lot of South Bay and kind of Santa Cruz area guys that have split off, it seems, to form their own team. A couple of guys were out at Cherry Pie this past weekend, raced really well in the P1 too, so coming in fit. But back to your original question, a lot of guys are definitely strong in this field. If it comes down to a sprint, there's quite a few guys that have the ability to really throw down a sprint. Randy Bramblett from Cortec, I think he's been away from racing for a couple years.
Yeah,
strong sprinter.
I I noticed him on there. You know, he was kind of up and coming there with Cortex. Was it Cortex for a few years ago when they, and he was running it up on the P12s, right. Doing really well. I think he was like top three for bar or bat that year. They had a pretty good team going, and then I haven't seen him for a while. So I did notice that he was back and running.
Yeah. I think maybe he was just getting older so he could race the 35s. So he took a break.
Older. You're going to make an old joke for,
might as well. Right. I mean, if it comes down to a field sprint, you can look to him because he's obviously got some sprinting chops. Chris Coble always seems good in a sprint. New guy to NorCal, Dave Kasel, Super Dave. He seems to do quite well in those sprints as well. So a handful of guys that can really be a challenge in addition to our own John Novikov. So a lot of options there for a field sprint.
So he's registered as Super Dave. And as his name, I don't know if that's in respect to the Super Dave who just passed away, or if his parents were just had a lot of foresight and they knew he was going to be Super Dave and they named him that. It's I don't know if that is his official name. What do you know?
I don't know. I think that's a good assignment for you to do mid race tomorrow though, while you're down there.
Well, I said I'm going down. Yeah. So what do you think kind of another one, Michael Claudio? So look, you've got some power in this field here of guys that Zach Morvant, he's moving up into the Masters. You've got some guys who definitely can ride strong off the front. Phil Tesoro of Cortex is a good finisher as well. And then the Thirsty Bear, you have Grafath and a few of these others. So Dan Martin in there for Pete's. You know, some of these guys don't necessarily want it to come down to a sprint finish, but who does Pete's have for a finisher if it's not staying away in a breakaway? Because that's always something to look at is, I mean, you got Dan Martin, Aaron Patterson.
Looking at Dan Aaron Patterson. Or Brian. I don't think Aaron's racing. I think he's down and out with an unexpected injury. So
it's going to be really?
Dan and Brian holding it together for the 35s tomorrow.
Okay, so I mean they're obviously two national road champion, so you obviously still have a decent rider there, but not the typical thing where they can hold Dean LaBerge back on the finish and then play their cards out in the front, and if it works out, it works out, which is right. Always a nice thing to do. I would really watch. Just a note out there, people. Chris Coble, just a little worried about him the way he rode last week out in Cherry Pie. Very very strong.
He's got a really strong teammate in there as well, in Will Riffelmacher. He's also another
one that 35s at the bump, I think.
That's correct. I think he pretty much went on lap one, so he's got some good long range power. Not a guy to sleep on. It works well for just Coble and Will being the two guys in the team, because Will can go and Chris can sit and go with a late move if he needs to, and a lot of options for them just being only two really strong guys.
And then I see here near the bottom, no, it's only the bottom of the registration, is Melanie Wong, 2020 Show Air. She's coming out, you know, got a good deal with them this year. And she's been doing a lot of the races with the guys. She's doing that again this year. I think that says a few things. One, it says a lot about her just trying to get your fitness, but it's kind of a sad situation that she feels that she needs to pull away from the women's field, because I don't think the women's field is deep enough for her.
Right. It's good speed work. I mean, if you look at it in terms of just trying to prep yourself for some of the other racing she's going to do throughout the year, it's a good opportunity to get a little more mileage in and a little more intensity.
Yeah. So good luck to her. So any predictions on here?
I think this one's going to end in a break. I think Thirsty Bear has got some really strong numbers. They do have a good sprinter in Joe Chacon.
Yeah.
So if it does come down to field sprint, they've got strength there, but I think that they're going to be pushing pretty hard to try and get a move up the road, would be my guess.
I think Joe did well in this race as a Cat 3. He was on an orange team, right? Just he and another guy, like all in orange. I'm trying to, it seems like, I don't know.
He did really well 2 years ago in the 35-1-2-3. I think he got third. Rob Amatelli went off solo in like lap one. Chris Coble left the group with about 8K to go on the last lap. And then Joe won the field sprint over Chris Baker. So he's got some good sprinting legs.
Okay. Yeah, he does. So they have a. So you think it's going to come down to? You think Thirsty Bear is going to try to drive a breakout?
I think so. Yeah, I mean they've got numbers and they've got strength, and I think it would work in their interest.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good bet. I would put like I said, I'm going to go with Chris Coble just because he seems to run the magic lately. But you know, Thirsty Bear, you never know. Good chance on them too. All right, let's switch to the afternoon. You okay with switching to the afternoon flights?
I am. I feel like we could talk about that last race for hours, but we'll move on.
Oh, if you have more to say, please let me know. What do you think? Is there something else?
It's just tough. I mean, it's tough to predict because I think a break would work really well if it was a little more windy. It's going to be tough tomorrow to force the break with really minimal breeze. That's why I think it's going to be something that Thirsty Bear will work on because they do have numbers. But it'll be tough. If they do get somebody away, it'll be a challenge to hold them away.
All right. So I'm finally looking at our chat here, and Zimney's joined in. Nate Dunn has joined in. A few other ones here. So let me just read some of these comments. Brian Zimney says most crashes happen on the neutral rollout when the lead moto goes 12 miles an hour uphill and downhill. Keep hands on your brakes during the rollout. Very good point. Any comments you want to make on that, Chris?
I it does go a little slow. I have not been involved in a crash in that entry component of the race, knock on wood.
Okay. Well, I have almost gone down on that. He's got a good point. Matter of fact, I think Zimney and I had an issue, not bad, but we were connected there last time. Nate Dunn says 35 plus is the new P12. Any take on that?
I think the 45 plus is the new P12, right? I mean,
yeah. I think Nate, you've been corrected. Okay. Kurt Mills said Randy upgraded. I don't know what that means, but is he saying that 35 is an upgrade? Must be talking about Bramlett.
Must be. Yeah.
All right. Zimney predicts Metcalf. That's a very good call. I would say that must have been for the 55s.
Oh, okay. Good call.
All right. Canadian road champion is better than US road champion, is what Kurt says. I agree with
that. Better than the US. I mean, I feel like he needs to elaborate more. He's
right. Just a shout out. Nate says your eyebrows look amazing on air, and I would have to concur. I don't know what else. That might be a lighting issue. Triple X Racing with brothers Aaron and Josh Cox. I don't know what Zimney's talking about on that one. Do you know?
No, I think he's
Zimney, let me know. Let me know what you're talking about. Okay. Any other things you want to talk about with the 35s before we move on? Anybody else want to make a prediction for the 35s? I don't know if there's a delay here, but for the 35s, make a prediction for who you think it's going to be. Metcalf is racing 35s. He's our sprinter. There you go. Zimney's giving us the answer.
And come on, Zimney.
Yeah, Zimney, aren't you in charge of this? Don't you just reg for everybody? And Kurt says orange team. I think that was the team that Joe Chacon or whatever his name is rode for a lot before. I think they were just called old orange team.
Okay.
All right. So, okay. Let's get off the 35s. Go to the next one. We're going to the second flight. The afternoon, the big big daddy. And who is up first? So we've got the Cat 1-2 Pro Men. They do 7 laps, 86.6 miles. Then the Masters 45, Women Pro 1, Women 3, Masters, lower categories. So let's start with, you want to go down in any of these other Masters categories or the women's, how about the women's field first?
I'll let you kick it off.
I didn't even look at their field, but I don't think there's 15 entries. So I got a real job at some point. We just do this for fun. So 15 women. I'm trying to look to see if there's any pros joining the field. It looks like it's just probably your Cat 1s, Cat 2s, Cat 3s in the area. Some JL Velo. I'm not particularly aware of most of the Ellie Velez. I would like to see, I know she had a health issue and she had some blood thinners and so she was not racing right away, but I would like to see her make a breakout this year when she had a good chance last year racing with a lot of good women.
Yeah, I think on the pre-reg list here, Michelle Howe from Snohomish, Washington, I think she's a Cat 3, but I think she also just won Carrie Pye, didn't she?
Maybe so. Maybe so. John Simmons is joining in. He said he's putting his money on Megan Brickmeyer for Cat 3 women's race. I don't know her. Maybe I'm going to have to get to know these names a little bit better. So there's someone we're calling out right now. I'm looking at their 14 entries in the women's three. Megan Brick. Hey, you know what? She's on top of the list too. I don't know if that's just because it's sorted by last name alphabetical, but they're giving her a race predictor as well for clean power. Now, John, I think she's the same team as you are. Is this just a relationship here? I don't know all the situation. So maybe that's John's just picking someone he knows, which that's what you do, right? You go out and support him, and then that's how you stay friends. You predict your friends. I predict you to win, Chris.
What am I going to win, though? That's the question.
A t-shirt, a ratty t-shirt. Okay, let's go to the 45s, and then we'll finish off with the pro. So 45s are 96 entries.
Yeah, have you big race of the day.
Have you come through all those to give your breakdown?
I have every single rider.
All right, well, let's start out with the first one.
Who's that?
I don't know. You said, do you have any? Okay, well, I can.
A lot of teams, a lot of well-represented teams. I think the breakdown that I saw was biggest team of the day is Thirsty Bear with 10 riders. Race Research coming in with 9. Cortex got 8. Sierra Nevada's got 7. Touchstone Racing Die Endurance has got 6. And then Divine Electric's in there with 5. A handful of guys with 4. Pete's got 5. Schnur Racing's got 3. Audi's got a couple. Fun Sports got a couple. San Jose's got a couple. Victory Bello's got a couple. And it looks like Larry Nolan's in this race as well. So it looks like he's doubling up. So within that mix, I mean, there's 96 guys in that course. There's a lot that can happen. There's a lot of really strong sprinters. On the JL Velo team, you've got Sean Bagley's in there. You've got Chris Baker, you got Alex Holtz, you got Sayers, you got Jerome, you got Bromstead, you got Rick Reinhardt. There's a whole lot of guys in that field that can really throw down a sprint, and they've got the team support to put them in a good position to sprint well. Before the sprint, there's a lot of guys in the field as well that can really push a break and establish a break. Scotty Fonseca with Audi, he's really strong. Giles with Schnur is really strong. Pretty much all of Pete's, all of Thirsty Bear, in particular Grafrath and Phipps, they're going to be really strong. On the Touchstone side, Jonathan Baker, we just watched him race 3 races at Cherry Pie, win 1, get 2nd in the other out of a break, and remain really active in the P1-2 race. So his fitness seems to be on really good form. And then there's just a lot of guys who are probably going to be throwing in moves early just to kind of shake things up and put some hurt into the sprinter's legs early. A lot of options. Good race.
Right, right. I agree with all that. Just so you know, my screen's kind of frozen here, so I'm not going to be able to show myself, but you're going to be looking just fine on camera. Thirsty Bear has a huge amount of people in this field, and I mean, if the pre-reg is all the same, you know, that's one thing to always think of, right? Is there's pre-reg and then there's day of, and we don't always know who can still show up doing it all.
Only 4 more people in this field.
Actually, that's a really good point because you have, you know, what, field limit 100. So, yeah.
So what you see is what you get, I think, for this one. So we're pretty close to capped out.
Right, right.
What do you think? What do you see?
Well, once again, it always all depends on, you know, how the break shakes out, if at all. With such a big field, sometimes you tend to overdo it. I mean, there's so many guys that you might not be able to get a break established, or, you know, especially when there's so many teams that are, if it's not the right mix, it's coming back. I mean, if it's not the right mix for Thirsty Bear, they're going to do what they can. They can shut it down. Same with Touchstone. There's a bunch of guys out there for them. You know, R for R. I mean, you know, so then you look at like Thirsty Bear has, you know, Jerome, he can finish off a race, or you have other sprinters that can finish off races. So if it's just not right for them, they're going to make it come down to that sprint and this drag race that lasts 3 miles into the finish. So I don't know. I tend to think this one might come down to a field sprint.
Yeah, one of the things, so Kurt pointed out, Scott McKinley's registered in here as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's usually a fit, smart racer.
Right, right.
If coming down to field sprint, who do you think is going to be in the mix there?
You know, actually, I like in these kind of races, Chris Baker. This is kind of a sprint that I see he usually does well in. It's even one that could, it's one that helps the, or Jeremy type, you know, I don't know if Jeremy's in this one, but I'm thinking of him where he's not the fastest sprinter, but yet up that hill, it really alludes itself to a guy that has, you know, second tier power, but just power, because you got to hold something for, you know, that 400 meter type of thing. So,
right.
What we saw in the pro last year, we can move over to them as well. It's Riker beating out Linder. And, you know, Linder has a good sprint, but he's not top-notch sprinter. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say that. He's a good sprinter.
Live. You can't take it back.
I can't. No, I mean, he's a really good sprinter. And actually, maybe I'm totally wrong about my analysis, but I didn't think Riker necessarily was. But, you know, he pulls through too. So you want to talk about the pro race then?
I do. Before we do that, my thought on the 45s is I agree. I think this one's going to end in a field sprint. I think there's a lot of teams that are going to be vying for that. And I think that'll shake out.
All right. That's good to know. Since your website or your internet probably works and somehow mine's still connected here, just keeping us rolling on the live side, but you want to go through the P12 field as it is and see.
So this is the long race on the day. They do a few more laps than everybody else, coming in at 86.6 miles. They'll be the first field off in the afternoon, so they should have optimal road conditions. 50 guys pre-registered, as we noted earlier. That's a bit of a drop relative to what we've seen in the past. Still quite a few teams out there with numbers. A-Main's coming in with 4. Davis has 3. Dolce has 3. Olympic Club has 5. So they beefed it up for this field. Spirulina has come in with 9. SunPower with 6. Team California's got a couple. Mike Spikes come in with a strong 7. And Tarun's coming in with 5. Again, this is pre-reg. I wouldn't be surprised to see these numbers go up to about 75 with some day of registers. A-Main will probably add a couple more. I don't see Mark Pro on here at all for the pre-reg side, so kind of a bummer because I think they would be a good team to participate in this race.
Yeah, so I think someone had mentioned that they weren't doing reimbursements for local races for their team, so that's going to put a little bit of a damper.
It'll make it tough to do any of the local racing, I would agree.
Right. So let's see if we have anybody in the chat. Hey, Mason Marlowe from Hawaii joined us in there. Good to know. It doesn't look like he's making any comments that are constructive towards the racing, so I appreciate that. Zimney's also mentioned that Sayers is on Die Touchstone team. Maybe that's just a different way that he's registered. I don't think that's it. Kurt Mills says Olympic with Coble in his second race. So he's predicting Coble, and he's the district champ. So, you know,
he's got to represent. That's true. I think it's going to be a really good race for Mike's. They've got guys in the event a break shakes out. They've got a couple guys in the event a sprint shakes out, and they're bringing Andrew Shimizu back from altitude camp. So he's probably going to just sit on the front of the field for the entire race and grind everybody away. That's my prediction.
All right. You out there? I think we're back.
Wait.
You there? Okay. Sorry. I had a freeze up and then it shut down completely. Still here, everyone. We're back. Okay.
Close.
Okay. Sorry. Go. this is how you do it. Hey, as a side note, I came home this evening. People are going to love to hear this story. So I'm just saying. I came home this evening and, they're saying the Russians took us out. Oh, no, we're still here. Came home and we have split level house. So, I mean, the basement, or not a basement, but first level and second level, and two different AC units. And the one downstairs is cool and the one upstairs is blazing hot. And I turn it off and it won't stop. So it's like burning up in here, and I can't turn on a fan because it's not good for this, you know, in my studio here at home. Just give me some of the the tough going I have here, Chris.
Sounds rough. I mean, so you want to talk about Snelling?
You want to go over Snelling? No. So do we finish off the pro team? I kind of lost you there.
I was picking you to win because you weren't going down the 35 plus race. So it's a big commitment, but I'm going to stand by it.
Oh, well, that's, I don't, am I supposed to do the pro race? Is that what you're saying I'm doing?
Yes.
You said Andrew Shimizu was registered.
He is. He's listed on the pre-reg.
Do you want to show us your chart?
Oh yeah. I did a graphic here to kind of help explain why he's going to win. So okay. I don't know how well you can see this.
I could see it. You might want to pull it back a little bit.
Okay. So we've got Andrew. He trains in the high mountains. He's up here.
We're all because he was in Colombia.
Kurt trains here, and Snelling's here.
So. Where's Zimny on this chart?
Oh, Zimny's like he's lower than Snelling. He's down here. He's off the chart. He's lower. So.
Oh, that's Kurt says that's PowerPoint. That's just powerful, not just PowerPoint.
It'll be good to have him back in the race.
Yeah, I don't see how he's not. I mean, if as long as he's come back and he's actually not dead from his whole ride over there and just, you know, kind of tuckered out from, you know, what's the word, fatigued, then he should probably do pretty well.
I would hope so. If not, he's got a lot of strong guys around him to kind of help the team out.
Okay. So I'm looking here at the Pro One. There's a lot of guys that are doubling up from the morning. It's going to be, so what about the Spirulina team? Did you call them out for possibly getting a podium place?
Call them out? I don't know if that's really a call out. I would say that they're the biggest team in the field. They've got some really good, strong guys on there. So it just depends on how the race shakes out. I think it's going to be Mike's putting the hurt to everybody, and whoever's around at the end there that can battle them is going to be in position to do well.
Right. I agree. You guys out there in internet land, anybody have a prediction on who's going to be winning the Pro 1-2 race? Kurt says Coble. I would go with, I give a good shot for Sam Bennett. Chat Leong, I don't know if it comes out. Skinner, maybe Skinner. We saw him, hands on hoods guy, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to Matt Chet winning the field sprint. That's my thought.
You do think that Matt will end up getting that then? Okay. Well, there's your prediction. I would like to see Shimizu. I'm picking Shimizu. Come down. That's just he's bringing me back some things from Colombia. So that's why I've got to be in his good graces.
And you got to go down and pick him up tomorrow. So you've got to be ready for that.
Right.
Actually, what other fields are in the afternoon tomorrow?
So in the afternoon, we've also got the Masters 45, which we talked about, the Women's Pro 1-2, which I think we went over a little bit, some juniors, and Masters 35, 4-5s, and 45, 4-5s.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Any other things you want to say about this race?
It's a fun race. If you are thinking of doing a day of and you're listening now, you absolutely should. That applies to Kurt in particular.
Right. Kurt, Kurt's on here. If he wants to go for a ride down with me, I'll go. So that's my way I'll go. No last words then, Chris? Okay.
I got nothing. I'm just bummed I can't be there, but next year.
Okay. So that's pretty much what we have. So, you know, look, it's ragtag. I'm glad some people joined in. Let's see if we get some last here. Kurt says, chat's gonna have cramps. I'm sure. Did you misspelled Zimny when you said Zimny's not spelled chat. Mason Marlowe, he's still not joining in with. Oh, he says DDA Lump for the win. I don't know who the DDA Lump. Oh, Andrew, that would make sense. Mason Marlowe says chat as well. Mason says come pick me up. Mason, I'm not gonna fly over to Hawaii. I'm just not gonna make my race if that's the case. So, all right. I hope everyone had some fun on a Friday night because, you know, what else are you going to do but talk about bike racing and then get up at the crack of dawn? I know we have some guys that went down there and spent the night. So Chris, any lasting memories from tonight's live stream?
I remember earlier when your internet cut out, that was kind of a challenge, but we got through it.
It was tough.
So we'll hope for better times next go around.
What happened? I was trying to share the screen to show all the registration, and then it just froze up because that's kind of how we do it second rate here. So, sorry. All right, you want to show that chart one last time before we say goodbye?
I think once is enough.
All right. Anybody on the live to see if we got here anything? No. Okay. Well, that's it. Thanks to everyone for joining in. Chris, I really appreciate your fine work this evening, your research. This should give us some motivation, don't you think, to maybe know these people better? Maybe.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So otherwise it's just us making guesses off of, it's like a ballot. When you see someone for voting and you don't know who it is, you just start, I like this name. And that's kind of how we do it.
It's a like tactic. It works sometimes.
Right. That's how we get the people we get. All right. Between Two Wheels podcast, everybody. We're waiting to do our 100th episode. This will be 99.9 or 1-2, something like that. So good luck out there at Snelling, and appreciate everyone tuning in. Take care. See ya.